Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation with Rhonda Washing. She wrote a book called The Last Arrow, A Quest for Healing that I read in 2 days. Just really, really blessed me. Only 150 pages long, but very powerful. Just one of those books you can't put down. It talks about her experience with cancer. And if you're thinking, well, you know, I haven't had cancer, but I know all of us know somebody that has experienced it, or maybe you have yourself, but it really is much about faith and just a lot of great stuff. And it really blessed me, even though I've been fortunate not to have cancer or any immediate family members. So I've been really, really blessed in that standpoint. So I would recommend it. But yesterday when we finished off things, we had talked about that Rhonda had felt a lump in her breast. And so she was getting ready to head to the doctor's appointment. And so if you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our website. You can go to hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. These are just 14 minutes long, and you can catch up with us. But, Rhonda, so you feel that lump. Gosh, just share your emotions that day as you're going to the doctor's appointment to see what's going on.
Sure. That morning, my husband and daughter were getting ready, and I thought, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're going with you. And I thought, well, that's really sweet, but it's not necessary. I'm sure this won't take long, and everything will be fine. Well, it took forever. I think they did every test known to man to me. So then I'm sitting back in that little waiting room, waiting for the results. And the doctor kind of strides in the room. She's very grave. And she said twice, I'm very, very concerned. I'm very, very concerned. And I thought, well, you know, okay, we've got an issue here. We need to take care of it. What do we need to do? More tests, wait for lab results. And instead, she began describing what all would be involved with a mastectomy and radiation and chemo. And it's everything that, unfortunately, so many people, I'm sure, have experienced and know exactly what that's like. It's just the strangest, craziest feeling. And Greg, have you ever been watching TV and it just goes to a place that you don't want to go? Maybe it gets too violent or whatever, and you grab the remote and you switch it off. I think I might have actually even kind of looked around the room for a remote because I just thought, okay, I'm done with this storyline. And I literally had to say the words out loud to my husband. I said, this is really happening. I had to say that to get my brain to accept that it was real. And it was in that kind of insane moment that I heard another voice. And this voice was very calm and full of love, and the voice simply said, do you want to be healed? And inside, everything in me screamed, yes, yes. And then the voice simply said, you are healed.
Wow. So your oncologist is sharing all these reports, you know, about being very concerned, and you checked out a little bit, but then you hear this calm voice. And then the part, as I was reading your book, you know, I thought after hearing your oncologist say all this, I thought you kind of asked her a unique question.
I did. It was a hard thing to say, but I felt like I had to act on what I'd heard. And I said, can we do another mammogram? And she was very gracious, but she looked at me very puzzled. I'm sure she didn't take lightly coming in and giving me this report. She'd just done biopsies and ultrasounds and lots of different kinds of mammograms and at different angles and everything. And she said, well, why would you want to do that? And I said, because I believe I'm healed. And she said, well, if another mammogram is what you need, that's what we'll do. And I know she just thought, okay, this poor woman's in denial. We'll pacify her.
Well, and totally understand it on your end. And thankfully, you did have a very wonderful oncologist. Mm-hmm. And so she did honor your request. And you get the results back. And you know, unfortunately, same result. It's cancer. Your oncologist tells you it's been a long day. You go home. And you know, she said she would call you the next night and kind of go over the facts, results, and the logistics of the upcoming surgery and the treatment plan. And just kind of share, you know, she calls you the next night and it's great, you said, but just share kind of what was going on in your mind that day as, you know, you get that result there and with all your processing and things.
Sure. I wasn't angry. I wasn't hurt. I was just confused. I thought, okay, I know what I heard. So why didn't the physical results match up with what I was sure God was saying to me? In my book, I talk about how, I'll just go ahead and read straight from it. It said, my need for physical healing was front and center, my most immediate concern. But could this all be coupled with my need for spiritual healing as well? It seemed that everything that was happening to me was somehow wrapped up in this journey from fear that I had been on before the cancer.
That's one thing that just really spoke to me is, you know, like you said, obviously you're thinking physical healing, but the Lord's looking, you thought, you know, possibly spiritual healing. And I think there's so many people, Rhonda, that are listening, and because of a certain situation, whether it's a job situation or a relationship situation, you know, not just a physical situation, and didn't get the exact answer the way they thought the prayer should be answered, maybe God's working in a different area, trying to grow them, mature them spiritually possible. Can you relate to that?
Yes, it certainly wasn't the story I had written. I had it all figured out. I imagined we were going to get a miraculous healing immediately, and it wasn't like that. But, you know, Greg, if it had happened the way I had written the script, I don't think I could have written a book about it. It would have been a great story, but it wouldn't have been worthy of a whole book. And I don't think I'd be sitting here talking to you right now.
Well, that's a great point, and I heard a pastor say many years ago that God never wastes a hurt, mm-hmm. and if we choose to let him do that, and Joyce Meyer says you become bitter or better, the choice is yours. You choose to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. And one of the things also you shared during this time, after you get the news and know you're going to, you know, be having the surgery, your husband Scott's wonderful, a solid spiritual man, just somebody I have great respect for, but like a lot of husbands and wives, you guys didn't pray together. Both had great individual quiet times. So talk a little bit about what you guys started doing.
We had, as you say, we were just kind of doing our own thing when it came to praying. But there's something so powerful about praying together. There's something that kind of grows between the two of you when you're speaking those powerful words out loud.
Yeah, I just, I counsel lots of couples, and that's one of the things that I hear quite often. You know, I ask them that, and they say, well, no, I spend time with God, but not together. And so I want to encourage, I know there's people listening, and especially for you guys, I know sometimes that can be getting out of your comfort box, but just remember, prayer is just simply a conversation with God. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be reading the King James Version of the Bible. Just, it's a simple conversation with God, and I want to encourage you to start doing that, especially with challenging issues, as I know everybody's got some. Well, on top of this growing in your relationship spiritually with your husband, Scott, God also sent some angels. I call them angels. I happen to know these ladies. And man, tell us about that experience.
Well, there was a woman at our church, Jill, and then there were three other women, and I had never even met them. And I was just so humbled by the fact that they came immediately. They heard about my diagnosis, and I kind of describe it almost like the Calvary came. When they left, I looked out the window and I thought, okay, I wouldn't be surprised if they got on horseback and rode off to the sunset and said, move out. Because their coming and praying with me was so powerful. And it was prayers that I had never really experienced before. Most of my prayers were more of the kind of worry, oh Lord, help me with this, please solve this problem. And these women prayed with confidence and with scripture, and it was such a moving, powerful experience.
Well, I know, happen to know these ladies, and they feel like that's their spiritual gift, is to pray for people, and they do believe in healing, and they did drop everything and come and pray. And, you know, that's one of the things I love, how God, even though we may feel like we're mature in our faith, sometimes when crisis comes, I've been blessed, at least in my life, and definitely you are here, he'll bring somebody into our life during our crisis and help take our faith to another level. Did that kind of help you with this?
Absolutely. And God sent me another angel, Patty. She's a dear friend, somebody I didn't really know very well. But Patty has this such a different experience with God. It's like she's got a mic in her ear and she's speaking directly from God. And she was just an absolute lifeline to me. And she still is. She actually, since then, has lived in Rwanda and now she's down in Florida. But it's eerie. Whenever I'm going through something, she calls and encourages me. And I know God's working through her. And I feel so fortunate to have that support. I know not everybody does in that way, but we all have the Lord, and He loves us, and He's always there with us, so we always have the support of the Father.
Amen. Also, I thought the thing was really interesting, you know, you had a daughter that she started to, you know, already, you know, was mature, but I mean, she's a teenager yet. Man, her faith really grew during this time too, didn't it?
Oh, it did. And my Allie's a big researcher. So she really went through the scriptures with me. She was kind of my protection. She kind of researched everything about cancer. And I said, okay, what do I want to hear? What do you want to not tell me? But she was with me through all of that. Don't know what I could have done. I just can't imagine what it would have been like without her. And in reading, one of the stories that we really clung to, it's in 2 Kings. It's the prophet Elisha. And there's a lot of history and symbolism in this story, but the short of it is that Elisha tells someone to shoot arrows and shoot them all. And he doesn't. He only shoots three. And Elisha's so upset, he says, oh, if you'd shot them all, you would have had complete victory. So arrows became a symbol for me of faith. And the first arrow I shot was that day in the office when I said, can we do another mammogram? And through the whole process, I just kept shooting arrows of faith, just saying, okay, the results I want aren't here, but I'm trusting, I'm believing, and I'm shooting those arrows of faith.
Well, and that's what you have to do. And, you know, that's what you talked about, the arrows. And can you elaborate just a little more about the arrows? As far as the arrows of faith, I mean, sometimes you don't feel like shooting the arrows of faith, so to speak, but we can't stand on the way we feel, can we? We have to stand on what God's word says.
That's right, and it's a choice every day. Do we believe, do we focus on the physical circumstances? Patty was wonderful at that for me. She'd always say, who cares what the doctors say? Who cares what you're saying? Just trust that God is good. And sometimes in my prayer time, I would be a bit bewildered, and I'd have to just go to something basic and say, okay, Rhonda, what do you know? You know God is good. You know God loves you. You know God heals. And every time I did that, that was an arrow of faith.
Yeah, I loved in your book, Patty said, you know, just keep trusting, keep focusing on Jesus, not on the cancer.
Exactly.
And for somebody else listening today, that's what I want to encourage you. Instead of focusing on your circumstance, keep focusing on Jesus. You know, the Bible promised He would never leave us, never forsake us. I love in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you've got to stand on that sometimes when, you know, you don't feel Him, you don't see Jesus yet. I want to encourage you to do that. And it may be, you know, you got to eliminate certain people that are, quote, Debbie Downers, or maybe you got to stay away from the news. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I want to just encourage somebody right now. Maybe you, even though your salvation's good and if you died, you're going to heaven, but your eyes aren't on Jesus. And that's why we do Hope Is Here, is that that's where your hope is. Right, Rhonda?
Absolutely. And learning, trying to understand for me that Christ, focusing on Him is all that matters. I think so oftentimes we get in this cycle, and it's really a self-righteous cycle. We feel good. Oh, I was kind today. And then the next day we blow it. But that's all the wrong focus. It's all on what we're doing, and that none of that matters. What matters is what Christ did for us on the cross. It's a complete finished work, and that work makes us righteous, the righteousness of God, which is an amazing thought. But focusing on that is key.
Well, that's going to wrap up our program today. We're talking with Rhonda Washington. She's going to be with us tomorrow as we talk about her experience with cancer and how her faith went to a whole nother level. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.